time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. And now your hosts, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. The team of Nick and Nick here is back on MSONewsSports.com. Dom DeCastro, Nick Kukuru, and new voice to this podcast world, I think, in our family. Not a new voice for the whole enterprise of Kelly Media, Nick and Nick, but it's Luke Graham, intern. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you? And you are correct. This is the first time since we were at the old place.
Yeah.
I've been on.
Interesting.
I like it. The old place.
A lot has changed.
We're doing a lot of recordings. Instead of just showing up Saturday morning for 90 minutes, we do it all over the place. And we have eight total segments to get done. Eight total segments, four or five people, stats, scores. Hey, we got it all here at the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, and we're glad to be here. So happy. We also got another team, I guess, that's kind of the Merrimack Valley cheers for. It's the New England Patriots, 1-1. What are your thoughts? Luke, we'll start with you.
My thoughts aren't positive. Let's put it that way. Okay. I think that, well, the Dolphins looked really good last week, so maybe that makes the Patriots seem a little bit better, but I think that beating the Steelers doesn't prove anything, especially since the Bengals look terrible, and the Bengals lost to the Steelers last week, and then the Patriots beat the Steelers, in all fairness, but I don't think the Steelers are much of a team.
Nick?
Luke sounds like the person, you know, the Patriots have never been bad in his lifetime, so he doesn't know what to do. I remember a little bit remember the pre-Drew Bledsoe days when we had, you know, Hugh Millen, Scott Seacules all back there. I mean, look, I don't think the Patriots are great by any measure of the imagination, but I'll take a win in Pittsburgh, you know, any day of the week. I know they're depleted. I know they're not what they usually are, but they're still one of the elite organizations in the NFL. We'll see, though. Baltimore, I'm not expecting them to beat Baltimore on Sunday, if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah. Or Green Bay. Do you think they have
Green Bay?
Chance?
Who do they have to worry about there? I don't know.
I mean, Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon as a matchup.
Aaron Jones can catch 100 passes. They'll probably just give him Aaron Jones. We'll see. They're going to need their receivers to make a play to beat the Patriots. We'll see if they can do that. That's more of an indictment on the Packers than praise for the Patriots, if we're being honest.
True. I'll tell you, when Mac Jones has certainly looked like an inexperienced quarterback, I mean, some of those throws, I mean, what the heck? I mean, he was throwing right to the other team against the Steelers. Some of them, he looks good. I mean, you know, but it's more than Mac, right? You know, they have a long way to go. And I just think we're in for being the fan of a franchise that is in the middle of the pack somewhere every year. Mm. At this point, I don't see how in the current trajectory they're going to get over this huge hump and be one of the top six NFL teams. Like, I don't see it happening. Like, I don't know how it's going to happen. Something drastic, you know,
or one of the top six.
And I don't think Belichick is bad enough for them to be drafting in an area where they're going to land elite athletes year in and year out.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to take some savviness.
You're going to have to pay for them. You're going to have to break out the checkbook. You know, the bargain basement's not going to work anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're looking at it long, slow. And then you just look at some of those upper echelon teams and the young quarterbacks there, Mahomes, Allen. What's the kid? The guy from the Bengals.
Burrow.
I mean, it just, you know,
I got a good stat for you on Joe Burrow. Who was the last quarterback to lose his first Super Bowl appearance and make it back?
Lose his first Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, and make it back ever.
Oh, and go back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. At any point in their career.
Bledsoe?
No, he never got back as a starter.
Well, okay, as a starter, that's why I was saying he did get back technically, yeah. But yeah, didn't play.
Jim Kelly.
Yeah, okay.
Was the last quarterback to lose his first Super Bowl appearance and then start another one.
Good stat.
That's a long time. Yeah. Look good for Joe Burrow.
Yeah. And so, all right, let's shift gears. Thank you for your thoughts on the Pats, gentlemen. Let's go to the gridiron on the Merrimack Valley, shall we? And let's go to Tewksbury, where Brian Aylward took his team into Lowell. I think it was in Lowell. And they won 27-7. That win was number 175 for Tewksbury coach Brian Aylward. Took over for his dad, legend. Nick, we got to do some research because at winning as active coach on Massachusetts, like he's got to be up there, obviously.
Yeah, now that Jim Pugh's retired.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Marshfield guy, was.
I mean, you got John DiBiaso out there.
DiBiaso's in the mix.
In Catholic Memorial. That guy, what's the coach from Northbridge? He's got a million wins. I forget his name, but.
Here in the Merrimack Valley, we got one of our own, you know, is up to top 10 easy, maybe top five, you know, good stuff. And you know what the good news is, guys? I'm going to talk to him after the break. And he's so humble. He didn't even mention that it was his 175th win. You know, we met him, Nick. There's no way he would drop that in there with you. But, you know, he seems
I'm not surprised after time. I've interviewed him once or twice too, covered a couple of his games. I'm not surprised that he didn't mention it.
Yeah. 175, man. So yeah, there's big things going on in the Merrimack Valley with football. We're going to talk to Tewksbury coach Brian Aylward after the break. We're going to have our Merrimack Valley football report after that interview. But before we go to break, Luke, I want to kick it over to you. Something going on with Merrimack College over there, right?
Yeah. So they played Harvard last week.
On the gridiron, right?
Yeah, on the gridiron. Merrimack football played Harvard football. I'm just waiting for this article from the Eagle Tribune to load up. And
they
according,
lost, I think. Yeah.
According to Bill Burt of the Eagle Tribune, Merrimack had a decent fight against Harvard. They were a 4-touchdown underdog, but they had a 21-7 lead in the waning minutes of the game. And it looked like they were going to be an upset, but the fact that they dropped this game, they have to try and get back around and make a comeback for next week. Coming up game, I believe they're playing Holy Cross. Does that sound right?
Yep. It sounds right.
Up and coming Merrimack College, Nick, right? I mean, we remember, I mean, I don't know, when we were in high school, they were Division II.
Division II program, yeah.
Yeah.
And everything. Now they moved up in the world. I mean, their hockey team has become kind of more of a consistent commodity and kind of, you know, snowballed to the rest of their athletic program.
Yeah. I mean, we were darn proud of Salem State in 99 or 8. We played them in Florida, a Division III versus 2, and beat them.
Ooh,
and beat them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mike Mabee from Saugus. Gem of a game against them. We were pumped. We were so pumped. It's kind of like that's a North Shore Merrimack Valley matchup right there. Salem versus Merrimack.
One that the North Shore won. The North Shore finally took one.
Exactly. All right. Anything else, Luke, before we go to break?
No, that's about it. Besides, of course, Central Catholic beating St. John's Prep in a massive upset.
Massive upset. They're the defending runner-up in Division I. That's not a massive upset.
Yeah, but the Prep has two Power 5 commits.
Didn't they beat them last year, Nick, in their run to the Super Bowl?
That was when they didn't have two Power 5 commits.
Well, Central has a lot of commits too.
Yeah, Central has some Division 1 commits too, and you know, there's 11 guys on the football field there, Luke, not just two.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, when you see St. John's Prep having the second best safety in the country on their team, it's hard to bet against them, you know.
Central has, we're all quoting Eagle Tribune here. Great reporting, Eagle Tribune. Central has Notre Dame commit, Preston Zinter, right? Sophomore QB and Blake Herbert already has offers from UMass and UConn. And then you go down the line to Jaden Wiggins, Matthias Latham, Sean Mercury for Central. D1 interest. No commits yet, it looks like. Kicker Mike Ryan, interesting prospect, they say. Field goal range under the 50. So, hey, listen, let's not put the upset label on that one. I mean, because that was to me, that seemed like a pick. We should say this on the Football Report. All right. This is a good tease for the Football Report. Break. Go to Tewksbury coach Brian Aylward. Break after that. Then we'll talk more. Merrimack Valley Football Report. Stay with us.
Chris Sale isn't a very good clubhouse guy either.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
It's time appliances had a personality, yours. Discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection now at Tri-City Sales. A sleek glass finish in platinum gives your appliances a look like nothing you've seen before, while professional cooking features take your meals to the next level. From entertaining to inspiring, bring modern design to your home with a kitchen that's a reflection of you. Make appliances personal with a look that's as smooth as glass. Visit Tri-City Sales Showroom and discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection today. Tri-City Sales in Salem and Ipswich.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dominic Castro, Nick Kukuru, team of Nick and Nick here with one and only guest of the day, Tewksbury football coach Brian Aylward. What's going on, coach?
Not too much. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure, pleasure. And opening the season at 2-0 now, wins over Danvers and Lowell. Most recent one was Lowell the other night. Let's take us to that game. You know, Merrimack Valley matchup. How did it unfold?
Well, you know, that was a tough game, you know, right from the get-go. That was a really physical game, and, you know, we knew it was going to be. You know, our kids are familiar with Lowell, having played them sub-varsity level, and, you know, we played them a year ago. We had a tough game at our new facility last year, so I don't know that it quite the kids quite understand the intensity of that rivalry as much as the guys on the coaching staff. You know, I mean, everybody has kind of been through some battles and some wars for years and years with Lowell, and Cauley Stadium is still kind of a special place to play. So we were fired up, ready to go.
Absolutely. That's got to be a big feather in your cap. I mean, we had the Lowell athletic director on recently. That 3,500 kids in their school, what about 800 or so in yours? I mean, that's a pretty significant victory anytime you can beat them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think our numbers are actually down at like 748 right now, you know, 9 through 12. But I think it's just kind of, you know, I think that those numbers are kind of like an aberration. I think we had like a couple of classes in a row with some a bit of smaller numbers. But so I think that they'll probably kind of solidify back up to what they were. And but yeah, it's always, you know, I mean, that's you know, a different situation in both schools. And, you know, sometimes it's can be overplayed, you know, and if we're going to overplay it on our end, that we're going to play schools with the, you know, bigger school size, school population, still boils down to 11 dudes on the field at the time. So, you know, I mean, it's like you got to be able to have that chemistry. You got to be able to execute. You got to be able to, you know what it is that you're doing. So, sometimes I get overplayed. I think in years when you get kind of banged up, I think that that's where you wish you might have had, you know, 10 or 15 more guys on your roster. to kind of fill those voids. But other than that, it was a big deal.
Yeah. Coach, two games in, you got a little bit of a body of work now. You had two games to look at and analyze and watch films on. You know, what do you think overall so far? Is a clear strength emerging? And are there some weaknesses that you want to work on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, probably more of the latter. You know what I mean? I think any coach, regardless of their record, you probably at this point would have a bigger list on that second list of things you need to work on. So, you know, as far as, you know, some strengths, we knew we were coming in. We had a couple of young kids, you know, in some pretty key positions, you know, specifically a quarterback, you know, our center, left tackle. You know, those are all young kids, sophomore kids. So that's usually not a pretty good recipe for success at the high school level to win with sophomores. But I think that surrounded by, you know, those three classes together, I think have kind of pieced it together. I think they're building some chemistry. I think the new facility that we had last year, we played our first game in there, our opening game, and we felt like visitors there. You know, that was the first day that place was open, so we didn't have the off season to kind of work and make it our own home. And you know, you spill your guts and work throughout the off season. Sometimes, you know, I mean, like that's how you make the place feel like this is our home turf. So hopefully that's going to benefit us as we go into this week. We knew we were going to be away the first 2 weeks, and this will be our home opener this week. So we're fired up for it. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know that I really answered the question there. I mean, we got some strengths. So we do have some strengths. I think that our strengths are pretty much been, you know, like a couple of key guys at each level on the defense and a couple of guys at each level on the offense, you know, if that makes sense. It's not like necessarily like one unit that's kind of been really good. I just think we've had a couple of key players in each that have kind of been the glue to kind of keep those guys together and have those guys execute the way that we need to. And, we need to execute better. I mean, I just from an offensive standpoint in particular, I think we got to continue to work.
Ryan, take us to, you know, the consistency of the program. I mean, it seems like you guys are a factor, you know, every year you're a tough out. Whenever you go out, it seems like it's an absolute, you know, dogfight. You know, how you guys been able to build such a consistent culture and, you know, be such a, you know, consistent commodity in the regular season and postseason?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that. You know, and I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the mindset of the coaching staff. You know, I mean, like we're in it for right now, you know. So like, if it looks as though you might not have enough in, you know, whatever position area here and there, I hate the word rebuild. Who wants to do that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's almost like I'm going to throw in the towel on the kids that have been here and have spilled their guts on the JV level and all the way up. So, you know, I think in order to give those guys a sense of purpose, like they hang in there, kid. You know, you keep working, you're going to have opportunities to make it happen, you know, as a senior. So we've really leaned on senior kids throughout the years to kind of go through the process, be patient and not, you know, work hard. And if you do that, then, you know, we're going to be able to compete. We're going to compete with the very best that we have and not necessarily say, hey, look, we might not be able to be very good this year. Let's kind of move these kids aside and get some young kids some experience. So that's not my mentality. I don't think it does any justification to the kids that have been there working for you. So,
Tewksbury football coach Brian Aylward's here talking with the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Coach, I don't have the numbers from Lowell, but the numbers against Danvers was super impressive. I mean, the Town Crier, Tewksbury reports 367 yards total offense, all but 32 of those on the ground. And Alex Abogast, 226 of those yards. So, I mean, what an opening act. And did that kind of theme carry over to the Lowell game too?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny, you know, those can be a little bit misleading when you hit some home runs. You know, we had a couple of very long runs. And Alex is, you know, he's fast. You know, I think that's it, obviously his greatest attribute is the speed. He's very explosive. And, you know, last year he had a couple of big home runs where you know, our focus for this year with him has been to hit singles. You know, give me 4 yards every run. I'd take 4 yards every run. You hit enough singles, you're gonna start hitting them out of the park. So, you know, I think that was something that I think he knows he has that speed. You dance around and take a bunch of losses, though, that kills drives. So don't be looking for a home run all the time. So I think that that's a message been to him. The second game, we didn't even have him, you know, so he didn't even play in the low game. So Hunter Johnson took the boatload of the carries, but we had a bunch of other kids step in that are experienced in our program. We're able to execute, you know, our offense. So we get a couple of different personnel groups. We try to, you know, try to be ready, you know, and that's how we work our depth is if we get a bunch of kids working in different personnel groups, and if somebody is to get banged up, they're just going to go more with something else. So that worked out pretty good. Yeah, but so we had some home runs, so it's kind of misleading. I mean, I thought Denver's team was tough as nails, I thought. So
yeah, they beat you last year. You guys came back and got the better of this year.
They beat us up.
Beat
us,
you know?
Didn't like that. Yeah. We did better on that end going in this year. You know, we weren't going to, you know, the whole talk was not getting out tough, not getting out worked, you know.
Yeah.
If they're better than you and they can run faster, they're bigger and stronger, that's one thing. But don't let it be because they out toughed you or out worked you.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. Brian, take us to week three. You mentioned home opener. Who's coming in Tewksbury and what do they bring to the table?
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, we're playing Belmont. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm kind of a historian of the program. I try to study. I get this guy that has done all this history all the way back to like 1935.
Every program has one of those guys. It's like one guy that has like 100 years of scores. Yeah. You're so, like, hey. When's the last time we played Belmont, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? And to be honest with you, I really didn't. I meant to look that up because I have the files on it. Yeah. I don't think we've ever played. Certainly haven't played them since I've been involved in the program. I can't remember. So, you know, they're a good team. You know, Coach McCray, Brian McCray, I think he's the coach there. He's done a great job. It's kind of. They have some personnel that, you know, it's very good. You know, you get a couple of big, tall receivers, a good quarterback, very good running back. They're big up front. So, you know, I'm going to work out for us. And, you know, it's kind of weird for us to get in games sometimes, which I think is absurd. Yeah, because I think there's a lot of teams that, like, should be wanting to play us, I think. Because I think that they have certainly like a physical advantage maybe coming in. But like this, they had contacted us. They knew we had that same week available. So we're excited about it for this Friday.
Nice. And I did a little research and I found a kid, Shane Aylward, something like that, on Endicott Football. Any relation there?
Yeah. Yeah. Shane is my third kid, you know, like, he's the third of four. He played, you know, he played for me, graduated in the 2019. I'm pretty sure it's 2019.
It's confusing with the COVID year.
No, 2020 he graduated.
See, it's confusing.
That's bad by me because that was it's all a blur to me with that whole COVID thing. But I'm just thinking like his junior year, we were fortunate enough to play down Gillette. And that was 2018. So everybody does it by graduation year. I do it by football year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, I think most football coaches are that way.
Yep.
But, yeah, he's been great. He's a great kid. He works hard. I think he's a good leader there with that program. And, you know, Coach McGonigal does a tremendous job up there and, all the coaching staff that they have there. You know, they got a zillion kids that play and he keeps them involved and, there's a lot of excitement down at that up at that campus in Beverly. So, they're fun to watch, you know. So I'm enjoying it. I think he's having a great experience there.
The other three Aylwards athletes as well, or are they have other?
Yeah,
interests?
So you know, actually, my oldest guy Johnny he played for me, and you know, he was the quarterback on that 2013 team. You know, we were undefeated and won up at Gillette.
Yeah.
was great. And he played at St. Anselm College, and then he's in coaching now. So he coached 2 years with the Houston Texans, believe it or not.
Nice.
And then right now he's currently on the staff at Notre Dame. So he's I'm pretty proud of how that's gone. My daughter is an occupational therapist, so she graduated recently and is working out in Connecticut. My youngest guy is playing for me. He's a junior, and Braden. He plays strong safety for us, so pretty proud of how far he's come too.
Hold on, Coach. I'm just texting you to give me your Notre Dame son's coaching son's cell for the next interview. That's a heck. That's an awesome interview right there.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Unless you want to do an interview at like, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning, I think that's actually like time off. And I think he's pretty fired up to get to some sleep. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Right, you mentioned that 2013 Super Bowl team. I think that was the last time I saw you guys play live up in, I think it was the sectional semifinals up against Gloucester. I mean, a barn burner of a game. Then you went through Marblehead, and was it Newton North you won in the Super Bowl that year?
Yeah, so I think, it was Melrose that we played at Colley Stadium prior to, so. Yeah, those was.
You ran the gauntlet that season.
All those teams are very good. All those games are very hard. And that's, if you add in the games from the regular season, we played and beat some pretty tough teams there too. So, yeah, that was an incredible year. It was incredible to win a lot of games, but it's even more so because of the quality of those teams. I think that those teams, there was a lot of programs that had really good teams all in the same year. And that makes that achievement even more special. I know it does for those guys because I think they recognize that.
Awesome. Well, Coach, keep up the success. We don't care now that if you win against Northeastern Conference teams, because we have this Merrimack Valley show now, which is new in 2022 for us. In the past, we were just North Shore. And we're like, all right, let's go up against Tewksbury. Here we go. It's the North Shore killer.
We've had our issues too. So, I think that was that might have been like the rubber match with Danvers since I've been there.
But yeah, like 15 was a good year for them in the postseason, I think.
Oh, man, yeah. They've always been good, and Coach Nolan does a good job. They have some, physical kids. They always fight hard. So, and then what Marblehead has done, really good. I mean, every team that we've played up there has been tough. So, I don't know. But the Merrimack Valley is, has some kind of legendary mystique to it. There's some really good teams, and physically they're a tough get every time you go out. We just try to keep guys healthy and get them all on the bus.
Yeah. Brian Aylward, Tewksbury football, best of luck in the home opener upcoming this week against Belmont. Thanks so much for joining us in the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk.
All right, great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate you covering the kids. Awesome.
Yeah, we gave a little shout out to Shane too last week, and he had 2 touchdowns there. So we give and McGonagall talked about him. You should catch that if you haven't yet.
Yeah.
He talked about him on msonewsports.com. So awesome. Good stuff all around. All right, Coach, best of luck.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Coaches in the books on the other side, finishing up with our Merrimack Valley football report.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
It's time appliances had a personality, yours. Discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection now at Tri-City Sales. A sleek glass finish in platinum gives your appliances a look like nothing you've seen before, while professional cooking features take your meals to the next level.
From entertaining to inspiring, bring modern design to your home with a kitchen that's a reflection of you. Make appliances personal with a look that's as smooth as glass. Visit Tri-City Sales Showroom and discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection today. Tri-City Sales in Salem and Ipswich.
Merrimack Valley Football Report. Ending the show here on the Merrimack Valley. Gone to Catherine Cooper. Luke Graham in the house. So, you know what? Let's do a quick rundown of the scores from last week because there was the Merrimack Valley, I'm telling you, looks good. I am seeing, Nick, I don't know if Max Prep is legit with their rankings or whatever, but I'm seeing some like at least three teams in Merrimack Valley ranked. According to them, I don't know what that ranking is, whether it's their own or they're picking up something else, but nonetheless, they have labels numbers next to their name. So let's get to it. Haverhill, trying to make it the sweep back-to-back weeks over North Shore teams, but couldn't do it, falling to Danvers 21-16. We talked a lot in the opening segment about St. John's Prep and Central, our boys in Lawrence. Getting the job done, getting on the winning track. Hey, talk about 17-7 win. Talk about a couple of weeks of an opener, Nick.
Huge bounce back by Central Catholic this week. I mean, disappointing loss to Springfield Central as far as, you know, what the score was. Springfield Central had their way with them. And then they got the Prep coming in the next week, and they hold them to 7 points. I mean, huge credit to Central Catholic for that bounce back.
And was that an upset win, Luke? Yes or no?
I still think yes.
Okay. He's sticking to his
gun. He's doubling down.
Yeah. And talk about it. I mean, again, opening up the season with the last two Division I Super Bowl champions, right, Nick?
Yep.
Three, I guess, if you count two from back the Prep. Back,
18-19, yep. So, I mean, that's so Central Catholic wants that home game in the first couple of rounds, and beating St. John's Prep is a way to be on the right path to doing that.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go back on my word. I'm going to talk about who's playing this week instead of going down the scores. I'm already feeling like they're so old. All right. So we got a Thursday night matchup. That would be tonight.
Excellent.
We got Andover and Lawrence. Look at that Merrimack Valley rivalry at Lawrence. And that is going to be 6 o'clock matchup at Lawrence High School. You gotta love it. Thursday night football. I like Thursday night football. It's like the NFL does, right?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it too. Come Manchester Essex the last 2 weeks. Actually, I was up in the Merrimack Valley last Thursday up at Whittier Tech. Manchester had their way with them, but I like the Thursday night games. It does it for me.
Yeah, and Andover is coming off a huge 41-15 win over Acton Boxborough. And Lawrence last week lost to Somerset Berkeley. So I got Andover as the clear favorite here. They're one of those ranked teams I saw in Max Prep.
Yeah, Andover's supposed to be up this year. MVC is deep, not just Central Catholic. Andover might be their biggest competition. So, can't wait to see that one. But, yeah, in the meantime, Andover, they should be the favorite over Lawrence for sure.
Yep. Drakett is going into Chelmsford tonight, 7 o'clock game. In Chelmsford, and Chelmsford, they're both coming off of wins. Chelmsford 48 zip over Lexington, and Drakett beat Pentucket, who was a Division V semifinalist last year, 18-14. So both of them coming off wins right there, looking for another one.
Absolutely. I think it was a Chelmsford plays in the Merrimack large, Drakett in the small. I've seen Drakett in the playoffs a few times. They're always, you know, fairly tough opponent. And they upset Marblehead a few years back in the first round, I want to say.
Yes. Was it like an 8-1?
I think so. And I think they beat them. Yeah. So and they're coming up beating Pentucket, you know, last week. So, yeah, look out for Drakett. They're one of the smallest schools. But, you know, like Tewksbury, you know, those smallest schools are pretty tough.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next night, Friday night. I got Marblehead going to North Andover, a North Shore Merrimack Valley matchup. And heading into that game, or this week, really, Merrimack Valley's 8 and one against North Shore teams.
All the pressure's on Marblehead here then.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's a tough game for Marblehead. Nick, they had trouble with Linfield. Now they're going into North Andover. What do you call that? A trap game? Like the cliche?
I don't know about a trap game. I think North Andover is probably too good to call it a trap game. But
yeah,
I mean, I think that is a little closer to a pick'em than we would have thought 3 weeks ago.
Yep. And by the way, that is the MSO game of the week. So you can hear it right here on MSONewsSports.com live. Rick Moore, Tim Kearns calling that game. Marblehead at North Andover, 6 o'clock Friday night. Moving on. Wilmington is going to Billerica. Billerica will be hosting them at 7 o'clock on Friday night. And what do I have for Billerica last week? I have them crushing Westford 32-14. Billerica's looking good. Who else we got, Nick? We talk about St. John's Prep storming into Haverhill Stadium Friday night. The Prep's going to be pretty geared up for this one, I want to say, after losing to Central. So. They don't want to lose a second in a row, Merrimack Valley. So,
No disrespect to Haverhill, but I kind of feel bad for him a bit this weekend.
Yeah, Haverhill get the split against the NEC, and, you know, facing the Prep is going to be a little bit more of a challenge than those two NEC teams for sure. We talked to Brian Aylward earlier in the show about this game, Belmont coming to Tewksbury. So we heard all about that already. And that will be a 7 o'clock matchup. Lowell and Methuen. Now Methuen, Nick, is hosting that game 7 o'clock, and Tewksbury beat Lowell last week. I mean, I got Methuen in this, and I want to say they're looking top 20 in the state, Methuen, right now. 38-28 win at Marshfield. That's big boy win stuff.
Yeah, yes, it is. It certainly is. We know Marshfield is as solid and consistent as it gets. And I feel like Methuen sometimes gets lost in the shuffle in such a deep conference, but they're good. They're good too. They're just playing with Central Catholic and Andover.
Yep, exactly. And they handled Lynn English in week one easily. So, you know, beating Marshfield is no joke right there for sure. All right, I'm just checking if we got any Valley games on Saturday. Lots of JV freshman action, but I don't see any varsity matchups at the moment. That's just the Merrimack Valley Conference. So that wraps that up. So, yeah, and looking around, you know, outside of the Merrimack Valley, we, you know, last week, North Reading beat Greater Lawrence 44-17. Low Catholic schooled Ipswich 37-6.
Yeah, that was a big, you know, Low Catholic in the Commonwealth Conference. That's going to be the middle tier because they're three tiers now. Low Catholic establishing themselves as a factor there. It's them, Manchester, Essex, and Kip, and they all look evenly matched.
Yeah. Greater Low Tech with a gritty 10-7 win over Wilmington. And I had Shawsheen, I think we mentioned in the other show, beating Triton 27-20. So. Yeah, there you go. Merrimack Valley football report in the books. Nick, where will you be going this week? Any Merrimack Valley appearances for you?
Unfortunately, although Manchester Essex is playing at Greater Lowell Tech on Friday for some Commonwealth Conference crossover action. That should be a good game. But I'll be in Weston, Gloucester at Weston. First ever meeting between the two squads.
On Friday night, getting to Weston. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
From Gloucester. All right, Luke, anything else to add? You good?
I think Luke is great. Oh,
did Luke leave us? Yeah, he left. I was, you know, so we do this on Zoom, so I was all in my Google sheet looking at Merrimack Valley scores. Gotcha. This whole time. I wasn't looking at you guys. I didn't know he left.
Yeah, I think Luke's mic might have kicked out on us.
Let's
so
see. Oh, he was using a fancy new mic. Let's see. Oh, my computer is losing it. It just completely disconnected. Oh, what a joke. I bet you that was a lie, that Gen Zer.
An upset that Luke's computer didn't make it the whole way. Just like Central Catholic over St. John's Prep. Upset.
Yeah. That's good. We have Luke, you know, coming out with these wild takes, and us savvy veterans, you know, quick to put a little extra spin on that to round it off. All right, so let's wrap it up, Nick. We're good to go. Another week in the books. Awesome, awesome. Looking forward to every Thursday morning getting the show out like we did this week again and talking all things Merrimack Valley sports. All right. All good, Nick?
All good.
All right. Later, kids. We'll see you next week.